to the outset, I should mention today is the yard site of my father, Rav Dov Michal and Rav Yaakov Moshe. And the learning today we should have in mind should be a zchus for the Aliyah's neshama. We are in the middle of this question, a very important question, to try to understand what exactly is the division of liability when something happens. And pretty much any case, you could have a question like this. Very hard to imagine situations. I mean, it's not so hard to imagine, but in real life, there are very often situations that are going to have these kinds of combinations of factors. So we started off really from the topic of the Tosfos, according to Rishalmi, that made a distinction that when the Mishnah and the Gemara tells us that a person is liable for damage that he causes when he's asleep, so what are we talking about? We're talking about he goes to sleep and he tosses and turns and he breaks stuff while he's sleeping. But, says Tosfos, it would make a difference if he wasn't going to sleep with this situation there beforehand. If he went to sleep and somebody else came and put their stuff there, or put themselves there, and their stuff or themselves got broken, so then this first guy is Potter. And we saw a couple of possibilities why he's Potter, and it's going to make a huge difference because it's going to affect a lot of other things, and we'll try to get a little bit of a sense of what some of those things are today. But just as far as what the possible issues are, so Tosfos later on in Daf Chav Zayin, Tosfos says the issue is that even if we say Adam HaMazik is Chayiv even Ba'ones, which is what it sounds like from Gemara's over there and over here and elsewhere, but still, there's different levels of onus. That there is onus where a person could have been more responsible, onus kein aveda, and there's onus where you really couldn't have done much difference. And this happens to you against your will, and that's onus kein gneva, and that still would make a difference. So if a guy went to sleep, and he didn't even know this vase existed, and then it got placed there while he was asleep, that is onus. While the Ramban has a different understanding, the Ramban writes that the issue is the role of the Nizak here, that because the Nizak contributed to the situation, that's what takes the heat off of the Mazik, and apparently implying, or more than implying in the Ramban's case, that the Mazik, if he was the only player here, he'd be Chayiv pretty much no matter what. And the question was also Tosfos on Ardaf, whether Tosfos really agrees with Tosfos, the later Tosfos, or more with the Ramban, because Tosfos throws in this language, Shehem Garmu Lo. Shehu Garmu Lo, I believe is the language. Again, my Gemara is unfortunately not in this room. But the notion that somebody else's negligence or causation is a factor here is a question. Why does Tosfos throw that in? So is Tosfos saying like the Ramban? That's something we have to figure out. But we also highlighted another important question here, that even if we say the first guy is off the hook because somebody else is involved, why is that other guy more significant than the first guy? And we saw or considered three possibilities. One possibility, maybe he's just more liable. Second possibility, maybe we look at whoever's last, because whoever's last could have stopped the whole chain. So even if it's only 1% of the story to the other guy's 99%, but if you could have stopped the whole thing, maybe that's the ikker. Or maybe what's really significant is that this person is the Nizak. And the Nizak has a higher level of responsibility to make sure his stuff doesn't get damaged in general. And therefore, he is an outsized participant here. So if you look, I mentioned yesterday the Kova Yeshua. I don't know if anyone tried to find that. I mentioned it's on HebrewBooks.org. So if you take a look there, he brings some proofs to emphasize that it's really about the Nizak, the fact that it is the Nizak specifically. And I think we mentioned there's different views in Rishonim with this idea of putting Kalim next to a sleeping person, that the Rambam writes just to put a Kli there. It sounds like it could be a third party also. But Tur has it as specifically his own Kalim. So the Kovi Yeshua, he emphasizes that it's specifically the fact that it's the Nizak who is changing the situation here. And he brings rayas from various Gemaras. Maybe we'll have time to look at some of these Gemaras more specifically. But he also says pretty clearly that when you're dealing at least with a Mazik Shaloba Kavana, right, somebody who would otherwise be responsible, but he's not trying to be Mazik. So then if the Nizak is exposing his own stuff to danger, he is going to take the liability. And he says clearly there, even in situations where a third party would not have mitigated the liability of the Mazik. And therefore, he says, kind of to combine these two nafkaminas in one, when the question of whether it's your Nizak's Kalim or someone else's Kalim, but also what if somebody gets up in the middle of the night? We mentioned this yesterday. If someone gets up and he sees that there is something there, so do we say, all right, now he's back to being responsible because it's like he went to sleep with something there? And the answer he assumes is no, because the main factor here that lets him off the hook is not that he didn't know it was there when he went to sleep. It's that the Nizak exposed it to danger. Sorry? The key factor, he says, is that the Nizak exposed his own property to danger. So because of that, that's why the first guy is Pater. So even if you want to argue that he had a chance to change things, he's not completely honest here because he had the chance to realize that it was there. You know, parenthetic, like I said yesterday, I don't know how much consciousness we have to attribute to a person who wakes in the middle of the night, but assuming that that's the case, still doesn't matter. It's all about the Nizak's contribution here. Hi.
How far does he take this? Like, would we say that even if a person was, let's say, fully conscious, that they would, that even if they completely bemazed it, then did it? But as long as the Nizak was involved.
Right, so I think that's where he has that distinction. He's talking specifically about a Mazik Shaloba Kavana. Right, so somebody who normally would be liable, even though he didn't intentionally do it, so his liability comes from his irresponsibility. So if the Nizak has also a irresponsibility, even if it's less than what we would look for in somebody else's irresponsibility, that still gets the Mazik off the hook. Hi.
This person gets up in the middle of the night. Who is that again? That's the first guy or second guy?
There's only one guy sleeping in this scenario. In this other scenario, the two guys sleeping. But here, let's say one guy is sleeping, and somebody, a second guy, Reuven, is sleeping, and Shimon comes and puts his laptop next to him. So, but Shimon doesn't go to sleep. He's got finals all night, so he's working on this. He's working in the lab. He leaves his laptop next to Reuven, who fell asleep in the library. And Reuven stretches and knocks the laptop out the window. So, according to Tosfos, Reuven's off the hook for that. Right, but is he off the hook even if he woke up in the middle and he saw the computer there? So, according to this Mahalach, yes, because the responsibility was on Shimon for putting his laptop there. And it's not focused on the fact that Reuven didn't know before he went to sleep. All right. So the thing is, it's not so much kavan, it's responsibility. And that's where the issue lies, no pun intended. That if he's mazik b'kavana, then nechanami, that would change the landscape here. But his issue is not that he's trying to break the laptop. His issue is that he was irresponsible towards the laptop. So when we're looking at irresponsibility, so the first address, apparently, for the responsibility is the owner of the property. If the owner of the property is not going to take primary responsibility, he can't blame it on other people. So we'll see, there are some interesting applications and possibilities. Now, what seems to be a shtickle astira is the Tshuvas HaRash. You get a chance to see the Tshuvas HaRash? So it's worth seeing. The Torah quotes it. I noticed that Yitzchak Zilberstein has a case, which I'll eventually get to, where he kind of asks a stira between the Tshuvas HaRash and the Yerushalmi. And the stira is more meaningful because the Shulchan Aruch paskins like both into back-to-back sifim. But it's not really so much of an unaddressed question because the Tur quotes them both together, and I think the approach is implicit in the Tur, that basically the Tur quotes the Yerushalmi and also quotes the Tshuvas HaRash, that the Tshuvas HaRash writes that if you have, this is almost a Parsha topic, this is a Vayishlach topic, let's say you have two people who are wrestling, and one ends up injuring the other. So there the Tshuvas HaRash writes that they are putter. They're both putter, either one is putter. So it sounds like there that because they both knew what they were getting into, and they entered into the equation together, so it's like they're mochel each other. But it's a little bit different than what Yerushalmi sounds like, because Yerushalmi, it sounds like if the two people went to bed at the same time, so then one who injures the other is chayev. He's only potter if he went to sleep first and he didn't know the other guy was coming. So you see where there's a slight difference there? In the case of two people going to sleep at the same time, if they both know each other or both sleeping next to each other, then it sounds like if one is mazdik the other, he's chayev. So that's the question, because it sounds like that when it comes to that situation, even though they know about what the other one is doing, there's still a chiyuv. But when it comes to the two people wrestling, and they enter into the equation together, still, then each one is putter. So that's where there's a little bit of a difference. Maury, you had a question?
I think I heard once this is the story behind the Ramah.
Behind the what, sorry?
The Ramah.
Which Ramah? Okay, yeah, so that's related to what we talked about the other day about Mazik Bereshus and about what exactly the whole mitzvah tour is going on. So we mentioned that in that context, and it may very well be that's what's going on over there. But it sounds like there's two different Hagdaras here, even though they sound very similar. Right? In both cases, you have two people who enter into a situation with equal liability and with equal degree of awareness, and yet in one situation if somebody is mazik the other, he's chayiv, and in the other situation he's pater. So how do you understand the difference?
This is your selfish question?
Yeah, but again, I think you don't have to come on to him for the question. He asks the question, but I think you see the question already from the fact that they're next to each other in the Shulchan Aruch. And the language of the Torah, let me see if you can get a chance to see this, Rush. Let me see if I can read the Torah to you. Let me see if I can find it quickly. Let's see if this works. Safaria, find me a Torah. Okay, I think I did it. Hold on. All right, I will read you the language of the Torah. Okay, and if you get a chance to look this up, that would definitely be G'day. So the Torah here quotes two things next to each other. B'med dvar mamurim shiyashin chayiv kishiyashanu shnehem ke'echad. Right, so when is there a chiyuv? When the two of them went to sleep at the same time. And one tossed and turned and ended up injuring the other, or ripped his clothing. So then, okay, then there's a chiyuv. So, but if one guy went to sleep and he didn't know the other guy was there, and then the other guy comes and he ends up being mazik the first guy, so then that guy is chayev. And v'marishon hiziko, and if the first guy is mazik him, he's pater. Okay, v'chein imeniach kelav b'tzad hayashen, if he puts the his kelim next to the guy who is sleeping, v'neshape chalein v'shavar and pater shezeh shanichan b'tzido, posheyuhu b'mad shanichan b'tzido. And so, and if he put the kelim there next to the sleeping guy, so the second guy is chayiv. So again, the language there, just to note, he says kelav. So maybe that's significant. The Rambam doesn't have that possessive there. Fine. But the ikar issue here is that if they both went to sleep at the same time, so one person hurts the other, so then he's chayiv. So right after that, he quotes the Rush. And again, the Shulchan Aruch, this is two back-to-back seifim. Tav Chaf Alef. So says the tour, She'el Adoni Avi Harash, Shnayim Shes Abku Yachai. You have two people who are wrestling. Ve'echad Hipel Chaveru La'aretz, and one guy knocked the other guy down to the floor. Ve'nafel Alav, and he fell on him. Ve'sima Eino Shalatachdom Ba'palaso Madino, and he blinded his eye. So what's the halacha? So says the Rush, Tshuva Nira De Pater Mehedvarim. It seems that he is pater from the consequences. Afal Gav De Kaimelan Adamu La'olam. So even though we say Adam is always muad, heichad havi anus pater k'deisa b'Yerushalmi. If he's an anus, so then he is pater, as it says in the Yerushalmi, hayyashayin uba chavero v'shachev etzlo. If somebody is sleeping and his friend comes and sleeps next to him, harishon pater b'nizke sheni, v'tanya gabi beish sheratzu b'rishos harabim v'ziku zeh b'zeh. You have two people who are running around in rishos harabim, one injures the other, shelo b'kavana p'turin, and if they're not trying to hurt each other, then they're pater. V'nizdein zeh, she'es afku zem zeh midash nehem, they're wrestling, knowing each one knows what they're going into, v'ziku zeh zeh shelo b'kavana, and they unintentionally injure the other. We know the whole point is one is trying to knock the other guy to the floor. It's not really shaykh that you can gently knock the guy down to the floor. Shalo yuzak, that he's not going to get hurt at all. They wrestle with all their might. And each one intends to do this. And therefore, there is mechila v'adayte d'hachi hisabchu yachad. So it seems like the language here recognizes the potential difference between the two cases. Jed,
just a question. But even before that, like, how are you allowed to be mochel somebody that damaged
you? So that's a very good question. So, and it's not clear that you can. And that actually opens up all kinds of other sugyas. So it seems like you're not mochel the active damage. And there's an interesting truth that's written about boxing and whether that's mutter or not. And this also gets into the Purim issue that Maury alluded to. I think what the Rush means here is that you're not mochel them to hurt you. It's that you are mochel them for the liability that comes with the situation. It's like when you go into the amusement park or whatever and they say you're coming in at your own risk. They don't mean to say, know that we are going to hurt you. They mean to say, and no one would ever go, right? They mean to say, Yirtz Hashem, you're not going to get hurt. But just if you do get hurt, we don't take responsibility. So the point being that you're not allowed, and it's not clear if it would make a difference, and that's maybe not what the Rush is getting at, to be mochel someone hurting you. The question is, if they're not trying to hurt you, but it's something where you could have predicted there's a possibility of you getting hurt, so therefore you should be held liable for that, so then there could be mechila on that liability. And presumably, that's what's going on here. So you still have to say there's some kind of difference in degree. That the person going to sleep next to somebody else, there's danger there, but how likely is it? How many times have you heard of this happening, of people who happen to toss and turn and knock out their roommate or things like that? Right, well, not so often. Well, you know, here we have a university with lots of dormitories. We probably could document how many times things like this happen. I mean, Baruch Hashem, we'll document the dormitories here all are Bahar Vacha. There's lots of space. But, you know, you think once in a while there'd be a case. It doesn't happen so often. But when it comes to people wrestling with each other, so there is an inherent danger that you're kind of signing a waiver by getting involved and saying that I know that this is a significant risk. That's what it sounds like. Okay, but this also should be entered into our equation of trying to figure out what's going on here. Another thing is there is, and we'll say more about this, but these we're trying to today put some more pieces onto the table. There is a view of the nesivus. And the Ksos possibly says the same thing. Question before
just
the big view.
Yeah. Point. So if sleeping damages don't happen so much, so then shouldn't that be something that's more of a chatzi nezek situation of Mishunah?
Kind of I think you have to put it somewhere in the middle, that Mishunah is totally unexpected, and that this is enough to be muad, but still not the kind of situation where you are basically expecting it. And it's a very subtle point, and so it requires us still to try to understand what liability in general comes from. Right? If we're not saying that the chiyuv nezikin comes from an aveira per se, or it's not necessarily coming from an overwhelmingly dangerous situation, but that there are situations where there is some statistical likelihood of damage, and therefore the person who creates that situation bears the liability. As opposed to the Rush's discussion, where it sounds like what the Rush is saying is, here, come on, you know, this is a rough game, and therefore, once you do this, then you're willingly accepting the consequences, willingly accepting the physical consequences. But we still have to see if there's more to examine in terms of what the possible differences could be. So to add to the equation, there is a view of the nesivus. And also, the Ketzos probably says the same thing. But the Nesivis, and a few places in Reish Sadi Aleph and Choshen Mishpat, writes that if somebody takes an item of somebody else's that was in a place that is Meshumer, right now it was protected, and you remove it to a place where it's no longer protected, and something happens, so you are chayav for that. And he emphasizes that that's not a grama. That's essentially an act of hezek, which is interesting on a lot of levels, because one might think that it is grama, because you're not necessarily doing anything to damage the item, you're just taking it out of its protected area. But that action on the object, writes the Nesivis, that constitutes an act of hezek. So if something happens to it in its new vulnerable state, so you're going to be liable for that. Sam?
But the Tosfos in the above course of Sanhedrin.
Right.
Sanhedrin Rashi seems to say a case where you tie someone up, when something happens, then you're public
because of the ground. Yeah, so we have to see what exactly is the difference there, and that's part of what we have to figure out, whether this Nesivis is in agreement with that, or whether everyone's in agreement with Nesivis.
It was in a protected spot first.
Exactly, so he actually works based on that. Tosfos, we'll see, we have to look into it a little bit more, but that's just one of the things we want to put on the table. Now, did you get a chance to look at the Gemaras on Chavav and Chavzayin? So here, there is quite a fascinating thing to figure out in light of our Gemaras. So, says the Gemara over here, on Dav Chavav, talking about this whole premise of Adam Hu Olam. And these are really Gemaras you should sooner rather than later see, because this really affects our whole discussion here. So the Mishnah on Chavav Mar Aleph, and then goes towards the end of the parak. So the Gemara says, Adam Muad La'olam. And the Gemara goes on to compare various situations where you have different levels of attention, and different halachas are affected differently. So, for example, Nezek is one thing, Galus for Tzeach B'Shogeg is a different level, Shabbos is a different level, etc., etc. So, says the Gemara, let's consider this case. There we go, over here. Okay, it's, if you have the Gemara Chavav Midbeis, at the top, it's about six lines from the top. Five lines from the top. Amar Rabba, Haisa Evan Munechas Lo Bacheko. Let's say somebody is lying down, and there's a rock that's lying on his chest. V'lo Hikirba, and he didn't know about it. V'amad V'nafla, and he got up and it fell, and it did some damage. L'inyan Nezikin Chayiv. That's the kind of thing that you are Chayiv for in Nezikin. And Rashi explains, Daha Afkinan Shoge Kemezid V'onis Karatza. That's the principle we have with the Adam HaMazik, that a person is liable even for shogeg, even for ones, etc. And for other halachas, the Gemara goes on to say, has a different status, like Arba Dvarim Pater, like Shabbos, Melechus Machsheves, Asrater, like Galus Pater. So different halachas that has a different status. So there's a fascinating Shita Mekubetzes over here. Definitely make sure to see this. I may not have put this on the list, but definitely make sure to take a look at this before next time. The Shita Mekubetzes says that what's an example of this situation? A guy goes to sleep and there's nothing on his chest, and somebody comes and puts a rock on his chest while he's sleeping. Sounds like some kind of summer camp prank. So then he gets up and the rock falls down and he damages someone or something. Is chayiv for that. Does that surprise you? Yes? Why does that surprise you? Okay, well, so why does that matter? Okay. Well, you're on kind of the right track, but you're not looking out the window. Is that a good expression? No, I'm trying to make up an expression where you're going in the right track, but you need to look at the GPS more. Because you have some of the right elements, but you won't necessarily hit it unless we... Yes?
Isn't this similar to the case we discussed of like the kli falling off the roof as if it's broken already versus when you throw a rock at a kli?
No, not yet, but there's some fascinating stuff about that coming up here also. So that we'll get to that kind of case, but no, not yet. So the Shita Mekubetzes, his case seems pretty much contradictory to our Tosfos. Right? Tosfos says you're sleeping and somebody puts his laptop next to you while you're sleeping, you're pater. But here, the Gemara with the Shita Mekubetzes says you're sleeping and somebody puts a rock on top of you, and you get up and you drop the rock on someone, you're chayiv. So it seems like it's a pretty difficult distinction to draw between the two. So the Shita Mekubetzes essentially says that the ikur is that it's not the nizak. I'm calling attention to one of our major issues here. That if the person was putting himself on top of you, or putting his stuff on top, his own stuff on top of you, and the stuff broke, so then okay, that would be similar to our Yerushalmi case. But here, he put a rock on top of you, and the rock fell on someone else, or fell on someone else's stuff. So what did that guy do? Or what did his stuff do? And he goes on to say, the Shin Mikubat says, if you wanted to compare it to the Yerushalmi, then better to have a picture of this guy putting his stuff on top of you, putting his laptop on top of you, and that's what fell. But the rock fell and landed on somebody else. That's a different story. That's a pretty fascinating distinction.
If it landed on the guy with the rock on his property.
Sorry?
What if it landed on the guy with the rock on you? What if it landed on his property?
The guy who and his own stuff.
Yeah.
Right, so then maybe that would be different.
Right.
Although we'll see, and I don't want to introduce too much stuff that you haven't seen yet, but the Gemara is also going to talk here about a pretty interesting case about what Jacob was bringing up, about stuff that fell off, that was thrown off the window, and some of the variables that we could find there. So we'll have to introduce that more probably before next time. But we're seeing here some very subtle distinctions in terms of split liability. Jacob?
How does this really work with our model of kind of why would you be chayav for something? I guess for the chatam sofer, that it's about kind of not causing damage, from keeping yourself away from damage.
You're talking about going back to the yisod of what...
Yeah, the yisod of why you'd be chayav for something. It's because you weren't careful enough for kind of preventing damage. When here, there's no real difference between when I go to sleep, I'm not thinking, you know, maybe someone will put a rock on me versus maybe he'll put his computer on me. Like, either way...
Well, you weren't until now.
Definitely wasn't until now.
Right.
And even now, like, I don't think there's so much difference in my mindset. So why would the difference in the decision of someone else affect whether I'm chayav or not?
Right. So basically your question is that if the person essentially is completely an honest here, he had no idea this was going to happen, so at what point do we stop saying that? So that's part of what we have to figure out. We have to figure out a few things. We have to figure out, first of all, is that maybe a line more Tosfos over here, Chav Zayin, with the Chasam Sofer and others. Can we say, which all these conversations plug back into each other, right? You know, the whole back to Ein Onshin Min Hadin. Is it about Onshin or is it about something else? Is there some kind of implied guilt? In which case, that could be what the Chasam Sofer is saying, that it doesn't have to be an outright hezek. Right? An outright hezek, we understand. Okay, so then you've clearly done something wrong. But the idea of putting penalties on unintentional situations, but that have some degree of preventability, so all of that is towards making you prevent them from happening. But still, we must have some kind of connection. So it's pretty surprising in a situation like this that you could be chayef. So Tosfos would probably say something else, but we still have to figure out how to make the parts fit. So we're still going to have to do that probably on Monday, but we'll try to get some more parts onto the table. Now, just to keep adding parts to the puzzle, the Gemara does still make some distinctions. So, for example, it's interesting these two Gemaras are next to each other, even though the parak switches in the middle. But if you see on Daf Chav Zayin, the beginning of Hameiniach, so the Gemara talks about somebody who steps on a kad that's Bershus Arabin. And just to quickly highlight some of the key lines here on the top of Chav Zayin and Beis. So the Gemara asks, this person is Pater, according to the Mishnah. Am I Pater? Why should he be Pater? He should have to watch when he's walking. So why is he Pater for stepping on something and breaking it? So after some back and forth, the Gemara has a line, and there's an important Tosfos and other Rishonim commenting on this line. But ultimately, we're told that it's not the expectation, Efish ein darken shabli adam lizbonin bedrachim, that people are not in the habit of looking down when they walk, of watching to see what happens to be in the street that normally shouldn't be. So you'll take a look. There's a Tosfos and a Shita Mekubetzos on that Gemara also. So we'll have to introduce that into the discussion. So this is going to affect a couple of halacha l'maisa cases that are discussed in some Sfarim. maybe we'll see. I'll just maybe mention one now, one or two. We'll see how much time we have. There is a contemporary Mechaber of Tzvi Spitz who has written a lot about monetary issues and the like, and about Dini Mamonis and related things, and Chosh Mishpat topics. He has a sefer called Mishpatei HaTorah, which has a lot of Halacha L'maisa scenarios in Chosh Mishpat. He happens to also have another volume by the same title. It's written directly on Bava Kamma. So both on Daf Daled and Bava Kamma and his sefer of essays. So he talks about, in both places, he happens to talk about glasses. Glasses, I guess, are a favorite topic of potential violence when it comes to Nezikin, as we spoke about prescription glasses. So he has the following scenario. He says, let's say you're in shul, and there's a guy sitting in shul, and he happens to put his glasses on the seat next to him. And you come and sit down in the seat next to him and smash the glasses. Are you chai for that? What do you think? Just to keep the picture a little clearer, so Jed's in shul. He put glasses next to him. Daniel comes and sits on the glasses. Is Daniel chayev?
Yes.
So what do you think? Okay, why not? Okay, so that's how he initially assumes. Right? He says that the svara of the Gemara, that Ein Adam is bone in bedrachim, so it applies there also, that somebody sees a seat or a bench in a shul. So the assumption is that they're there available for sitting. If there's no person sitting there, you're not expected to examine it for small, transparent glasses. Right?
Is shul considered shusrab?
So, probably yes for this purpose, but I don't know if it matters. I think the point is that he has... Either way, this person sitting there has the right to sit there, and he's not expected to inspect the chair to see if there's some small, hard-to-see item in it. Now, what if he happens to notice, oh, you've got your glasses on the seat? That's a bad thing to do. And then he gets distracted for a second, then he comes and he sits on the seat and smashes the glasses. Does that make a difference? So in other words, he saw the glasses and then forgot about them and sat on them and broke them. What do you think? Sorry?
Could you argue as kavana now?
So not, again, it's similar to the previous point, that it's not that he has kavana, he's certainly not looking to break the glasses. But he may have liability. That's how he assumes that basically it goes back to Adamu or the Olam. Even if it's maybe, it's an interesting question, whether even if to call it Shia, but it goes back to Adamu or the Olam. It's just that, despite Adamu or the Olam, we had this exemption of a person who's not expected to inspect the street, which he assumes should also apply to sitting down in shul. But if he did know, so then that removes this idea of you're not expected to look down. And it goes back to Adam Udala. So even though he's certainly not trying, Kavanah is really not the right word, he's certainly not trying to break the glasses, but he goes back to being a Muad in that case. So essentially, the glass wearer here, Jed, is responsible for his own glasses, but, and he should be, he's going to take the loss if Daniel just sits on them without checking. But if Daniel did know they were there, so then it goes back on him. What if, asks the Mishpatei HaTorah, what if it's not Jed's glasses, but Jed took a cup from the shul, a glass cup that belongs to the shul, it's a public use glass, And he put it on the chair, and poor Daniel sat on it. This is getting more and more painful. And to consider you may also be chayev for inflicting so much pain upon yourself is already a scary thought. But so what would you say there? So now it's a question, somebody should be chayev to pay back the shul. So who's chayev for that? Jed or Daniel? So presumably should be chayev. Well, who's he in this case? Yeah? Right, so it would seem like Jed should be chayev probably either way, right? Because Daniel still has the excuse of he's not expected to be misbonin b'drachim. So Jed is liable because he exposed it to danger. Could have theoretically thought maybe they're both off the hook. But by Jed putting it in a dangerous place, so then that's like the Nesivis. He took it out of its closet where it was safe and he put it on a chair where people could sit on it. So as far as the Nesivis' position goes, he is chayev for that. Okay, so far so good. But then he adds another distinction. He says, let's say it's not a shul, but it's a kolo. Why does that matter? It's the yeshiva-based medrash. Why does that matter? Because people are sitting there for hours and hours, and they're drinking tea and taking off their glasses to look at very small lettering. So maybe in that setting, it's a little more common that people put things like this on the seats next to them. So it's one thing, usual people just go in for mincha for 20 minutes, they don't expect to find things on the chair. But somebody goes in to a kolal where they sit there for hours and hours, and the guy is sitting at the table, it's more likely that he would have placed things like this on a seat next to him. Maybe that no longer carries the exemption of chayiv of the main darko shel adam l'sponin b'drachim. So that's an interesting application of some of these principles. He has a similarly glasses-focused discussion in his Sefer and Bava Kamma on Daf Dalet, where he talks about our Tosfos, and he again picks on someone's glasses. He says, let's say Sam gives Maury a ride, and Sam has his glasses in the car, and when he drops Maury off, Maury gets out of the car, and he carelessly knocks the glasses into the street. Yeah. And then Sam starts driving his car again, and crunch, there go his glasses. So what's the story there? So there he assumes, it goes back to Adam Ulaolam, and Maury is not trying to break the glasses, but Lamaisa, he carelessly knocked the glasses into a dangerous place. And again, based on this premise that the one who puts it in the place of danger is chayiv, so that becomes Maury's problem as well. Okay, so those are some of our building blocks. So we have to figure out still a few more things and perhaps see some other practical issues to see how these parts come together. But let's just quickly review what we saw. So we spoke about the Kovi Yeshua insisting that the Nizak's role is crucial, and therefore if the sleeper wakes up in the middle, it doesn't help. And we talked about the Tshuva Sarash, who says that two people wrestling with each other, if they hurt each other, then they're pater, because it's like it's done Bereshus. And we talked about how that can be reconciled with Yerushalmi, especially because it's two consecutive sifim in the Shulchan Aruch and two consecutive paragraphs in the Torah. Presumably there is a harmony to be had between them. And then we talked also about the Nesivus' position, and if somebody puts something that's in a protected place into an unprotected place, so then that is a chiyuv, like a mazik, and it's more than grumma, it's not grumma, it's an actual mazik. We have to see whether that is consistent with everybody's view. And then we talked about the Gemara here on Daf Chavav, where it says if somebody gets up and there's a rock on top of him that he didn't know about, and he drops the rock, he's chayiv b'nezikin. And the Shita Mekubetza says, even if he went to sleep and the person put the rock on top of him, and that seems like it contradicts the Yerushalmi, the Shita Mekubetza says the ikar is that in the case where you're pater, it's because the nizak himself put himself or his stuff there. But here in this case of the rock, which damages something else, so how is that something else complicit in the story? And that seems to make all the difference here. And then we talked about, nonetheless, even though we say Adam Mu'ad La'olam, but if he steps on something, Rishos Arabim, we still say that Ein Darkol Adam was born in Bedrachim. And then we talked about an application of that discussion about somebody who sits on glasses that were in a seat next to somebody else in shul, that Me'ikar Hadin, a regular assumption is that he should be pater because he's not expected to look. But if he did see it, so then he's chayiv, even though he certainly still didn't try to do this, but he's chayiv anyway because Adam Ula Olam, it's just he would have gotten off the hook because he's not expected to look. But if he happened to have seen it, so then he goes back to being chayiv. And if the person who put it there put somebody else's stuff, he put the, say, the shul's cup, so then that person, the one who put it in the chair, is going to be chayiv, again, from the nesivus perspective. And if it's a situation where it's a little bit more predictable, let's say it's a kolal, people learning there all day, and it's common they're going to put their stuff down, so then that would be a different story, and you would expect the person to check. And in a different discussion, he talked about if you have glasses in your car and you give somebody a ride and the person gets out of the car and he knocks the glasses to the floor and then he drive over them, so the person who thought he got a free ride is actually going to get a very expensive ride because he has to pay for the glasses, again working off of the idea of Adam Mu'ad La'olam, and that the act of hezek that he did here was that he put the glasses in a place of danger by knocking them into the street, and that's the combination of the Nesivus' point with the Adam Mu'ad La'olam premise. Okay, so we have some more to still see about this. Hopefully we'll get a more complete picture as we
continue.
Okay, Ashrei Yoshua Beisacha.